Independent Nation.
You see the dude, there was an article on SI.com saying that they were the top in stats, but not the best at their position. He mentioned Jim Brown and Barry Sanders.
I thought he was talking about during their time, because I know a lot of times they...
Well, he mentioned Jim Brown and Barry Sanders being better than Emmett, which I agree with. You know, and I think you can make a strong case for that. He mentioned some dude who played receiver in the 50s as being better than Jerry Rice. Now, I'm not sure I'm buying that argument. Really.
What's he say? What?
He's saying that Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith, although they're the tops in stats, they're not the tops players to ever play that position. And I think with Emmitt Smith, he has a valid point. With Jerry Rice, he lifts up some dude from the 50s who played receiver.
Now, NFL Films is doing the top 100 players of all time. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, ranking them. And, you know, they're not – you know, the guy's like, look, this is argument stuff. I'm not – whatever. But I was thinking, like, who I would put number one. And I would – I think I'd put Jerry Rice number one.
Okay. I think it'd be hard to not put a quarterback number one.
I guess, but I think.
By the way, this is episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right. I think because you could argue about who's the greatest quarterback of all time, but can you argue who's the greatest wide receiver of all time?
No, but I would be able to argue that the second greatest quarterback is better than the greatest wide receiver.
Well, what I'm saying is that because you can name three or four different quarterbacks, it would see – you know what I mean? That's why I think because there's some debate on what is the best quarterback, it seems like that makes it easier to pick somebody else.
Because there's no clear-cut number one quarterback.
Yes.
You know, but there is a clear-cut number one wide receiver. Yes. In his mind, in your mind.
Okay, so let's say – best center ever to play the game was Mike Webster. That's clearly the best center to ever play the game. Is he better than any of the quarterbacks you could name just because he was the best center?
No. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a skill position.
Hey, I played center. Skill.
Okay. No, it's a skill position. It's a more glamorous position than center.
Sure.
It's not as glamorous as quarterback, but it's close, so that's why I say that. I wouldn't say you'd go through every other position. Like, Ronnie Lott's the best safety ever, so he's better than any quarterback. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, in this instance, wide receiver, and I think you could say the same thing if you could pick a clear-cut running back.
Sound like you're saying that.
No, I was only talking about wide receivers. You wanted to make it then about every position.
I was extrapolating your theory further.
It wasn't a theory. It was a statement about wide receivers and quarterbacks.
I was extrapolating your statement. I was just seeing if it carried from position to position, which clearly it doesn't.
No, well, you didn't ask that. You just said it did.
No, I asked it.
Well, it doesn't. Exhausting being with you sometimes.
No, I still think you're wrong.
Okay. I mean, it's like I said, there's not going to ever be an answer.
I know. Well, anyway, this dude on SI.com, he'd disagree with you too because he doesn't even think Jerry Rice was the best receiver ever.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
I know. Mine too.
All right, episode 206.
Yes.
We ready to go? Seatbelts locked. All arms inside the tram at all times. Mm-hmm. 5, 4, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Brothers in 3Z, the Sports Bar Talk podcast. Sports talk like you and your buddies talk. Eating wings, having beer, and a sports bar. Email the Brothers in 3Z at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Visit their site at brothersin3-z.com. Now put on your iPod, pull up a virtual bar stool, because you're now sitting with Adam, Trent, and Ryan, the Brothers in 3Z.
Everybody, welcome once again to an episode of Brothers in 3Z, your sports bar talk podcast. I am your host, Trent. I'm here with my brothers, Ryan and Adam, and we're going to talk sports, hence the name Sports Bar Talk Podcast. That's what we do here. And talk amongst yourselves, and you're able to listen to this conversation. Chime in via email if you want to, brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Hey, got to plug in for the email address early. How about that?
Take a load off my mind.
I know. That's so you don't have to do it later, but please do.
No heavy lifting on my part.
Uh-huh. So we're here on a Friday night, I guess. But anyway, we're going to start off today's podcast by talking by a little bit of local flavor, and it spans from Morgantown, West Virginia, all the way to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think, kind of, comes out yesterday that NCAA has a list of allegations against West Virginia University and its football program. Some of it stemming from Rich Rodriguez's time here, and some of it apparently carrying over to Bill Stewart, his couple years that he's been a head coach. So from 2005 to 2009, I think that the NCAA started looking at West Virginia because of Rich Rodriguez's violations in Michigan. And they said, you know what? He was doing it in Michigan, so let's look a little further. And they poked their neck in. I think there was five allegations made. And all of them, if I'm not mistaken, pertains to the use of graduate students and, you know, non-coaching staff to orchestrate and coordinate practice sessions.
Monitor workouts. Yep.
Yeah, yes. Things like that. So – I don't know what the time frame is on this. I mean, these allegations, I don't know. I guess I'm just fuzzy and just kind of – I was taken aback by it. I mean, does West Virginia still have time to respond? Can they, you know, levy a punishment by themselves? Can they be like, oh, we're going to vacate some wins too and that kind of thing in order to appease NCAA? And when does the NCAA make the decision from – allegation to this is a violation and you guys are going to be sanctioned or penalized?
I think a couple of things. They will have a chance to respond. Usually what the NCAA does is say, hey, look, this is what we found. And then you submit something and go, oh, okay. This is how we're going to fix it. Sorry mm-hmm. about that. And then the NCAA will look at it. The NCAA will look at it and go, okay, this will be your punishment, or You know, West Virginia might say, okay, we're not going to play in a bowl game. And the NCAA will go, okay, that's fair enough. We won't do any more. Or they'll say, no. You're not only going to not play in a bowl game, but you're going to lose scholarships and things like that. You don't have to look at vacating wins because it doesn't look like ineligible players were used. And that's usually where you get in to trouble with the wins and things like that.
But vacating wins is so easy to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, hey, you can just have some of these wins back. We don't care.
Yeah, right. So I don't think you have to really worry about that so much.
But I don't think – I mean, maybe I just don't know and really didn't worry about it until this came about. Are these allegations that egregious that they would say you can't play in a bowl? I mean, this is what they did to USC. You know, they said that you can't play in the bowl and we're taking away scholarships. I don't see this personally.
Interestingly enough that – it doesn't necessarily reflect on the football program. Well, let me back up. A couple of years back, you might remember the men's soccer program got into trouble. Mm-hmm. You might not remember. They were using they were circumventing rules. They were cheating, essentially circumventing rules. they were messing with foreign players, and it just was illegal. They got punished. They got hit hard. Now, as far in the NCAA's eyes, that's a lack of institutional control, okay, or whatever they want to term it as. So now the football program's in trouble, and they go, oh, now look, this is two problems in 5 years at West Virginia. Now we're going to hit you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So those two are actually related. Now, are these on its surface that bad that they're going to start doing bowl games? No, but because it's at West Virginia and because it's been within the past couple of years,
it might calm down the issue.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh.
But I don't believe that they are enormous enough problems. I mean, I think if West Virginia has some sort of response back, I think the NCAA would look at that and say, okay, you know, and I'm sure that they'll have some sort of legitimate, you know, say, hey, we're going to limit these scholarships. I mean, these violations are not, I mean, you know, I'm looking at, you know, non-coaching staff members sometimes analyze video with football players. They sat in coaches' meetings that they weren't allowed to attend. I mean, you know, in the scheme of things, this isn't certainly anywhere close to what, you know, like USC had to deal with or anything like that.
Or Tennessee. So, Tennessee sending out their horse for recruiting. I wonder if the switch over in athletic director, Oliver Luck taking over at West Virginia, if that's going to have any effect on this, where they're saying, well, this did happen under a different regime as far as athletic director is concerned, and now we have a new person in there. Is that something that they would take into consideration, even though Passalong wasn't fired for this, and he certainly wasn't replaced because of it, but it just happened. You know, the timing was just that as such as you have a new AD in place right now.
I don't think so.
No.
If you remember, USC has a new AD, and it the timing of that was a little different, but I think if you can hit a school and they get rid of their coach, but the sanctions still stay, I think it's probably the same with an athletic director. Although I can't say that 100%.
Sure. So what about the timing of it? I mean, if they were to levy any type of punishment at this point, it seems like they wouldn't do anything or couldn't do anything for this upcoming season because it starts in just a few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. Huh. I don't know what the timeline is for this now.
So,
well, there was an interesting Oliver Luck, you know, obviously taking over and things like that. I mean, I've read a couple places, and I think that this is too late to do something like this, but if Oliver Luck coming in as a new AD, and some of these did take place under Bill Stewart,
mm-hmm.
if Oliver Luck was looking for an excuse, you know, obviously I think this is too late in the season for this year
to get rid of Bill Stewart
but this could give him, you know, if he's like, you know what, this guy, you know, I'm not sure I'm on board with him, you know, running the football program. I mean, this could be enough to, at the end of the season, relieve him of his duties, I think.
I don't think he'll need that kind of a reason.
Not by the time the season's done, but it might be enough to, you know.
So,
yeah.
I think that this season is definitely another tryout for Coach Stewart in his position. I think that, you know, for some reason, I feel that he's on a hot seat, even though, you know, for all intents and purposes, over the last few years, he's had winning records. He's gone to bowl games, you know, last couple of years, he's only been there too. So, but for some reason, I feel like he's really got to have a decent record. They've got to show significant improvement in offense. It's almost like he's been, you know, a 500 coach, but that's just because he was handed a program that was running pretty well, obviously, because they had so many coaches.
Yeah. And I mean, he came in under, you know, I don't know, shady circumstances or parade circumstances. And I think whenever there's a new boss, everybody's on guard. So, you know, I don't know. It's but I think, gosh, when he didn't, when he couldn't win big in Pat White's senior year, I don't think that was a great moment. But no, I don't think he'll get fired for going 8-4 or 9-3. But if it starts to get to 7-6,
yeah, I don't know. I think that he has. This year, I don't know. I just get that feeling that this year's his year to actually show something. But again, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's just like the results have been there, but you just don't see a lot in the coaching and the decision making.
Well, I don't know about the direction. I don't know how people feel about the direction of everything going. You know, going. Like, let's take for example when Rodriguez was there, and let's say he lost an assistant coach. You go, huh? Okay. But now, you know, Stewart loses Doc Holliday. Everybody goes, whoa. No, we lost Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do with all those players and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know. So I don't know that you get a clear picture of what he's doing. And maybe it was because Rodriguez had the spread and you could see that. You know what I mean? And that was his thing. And that's what West Virginia was. Maybe that's – I don't know. But it just kind of seems like they're existing.
Yeah, and it, you know, it seems like Stewart's philosophy is different than Rodriguez. I mean, when Stewart was hired, he's like, well, you know, I'll take the little bit less money. You give the assistants more money, and I'll hire top assistants. So,
or a lot of them.
A lot of them. And we'll take volunteers, you know, anybody who wants to come coach practice. But it seems like that's why losing an assistant would be a little bit more problematic under Stewart, because he was trying to hire the best people out there for, you know, each position and paying them a lot of money to do what they do. So when you lose a Doc Holliday, or if you lose a Mullen or a Castile or something like that, it's going to hurt a little bit more, because he's playing the role of Bobby Bowden, you know, just kind of the overseer and, you know, make sure that everything's kind of going well, rather than where Rodriguez, when Rodriguez is coaching, you know, you felt that he had his finger in everything. And I don't know if that's a bad turn of phrase. Sounds a little dirty. but you know what I'm saying. It felt like his imprint was on all aspects of the team. So.
Yeah. Well, I just think that he's going to be in a difficult position. I mean, you're talking about an AD that played football at WVU. I mean, obviously has some, you know, real attachment to that program, more so than, you know, women's soccer or gymnastics or something like that. So I think he might be under a little more of a microscope than maybe some of the other coaches. And he probably expects more. You know, I don't know when the last time West Virginia started out a season not ranked in the top 25. But it's been a while.
Well, from their 24th in the coaches poll, I think. I think I heard that or read that somewhere. I've
seen a bunch of
they're clinging.
Yeah, coaches or media poll. But
here's what I don't like about this whole thing, and you know, I know that Bill Stewart kind of carried on some of these practices, and maybe it's just because he's, you know, lacking the wherewithal to know that they were bad. But you know, Rodriguez, who started this whole thing here at West Virginia and took it to Michigan, you know, he's not going to get in any more trouble, I don't think, or it doesn't seem like he's going to get in any more trouble because he did this in two places. You know, the problem that I have with this system is that it's not the coach who gets punished, it's the schools. And I know that the schools have some responsibility and they have some role in it. I'm not saying that they don't. But, you know, and it's just like Pete Carroll. You know, you can run away from your problems when you're a coach in Division I college football. Is Adam still there?
I don't know. I've heard a buzzing for a while. It sounded like that same buzzing we had last time.
Yeah, hold on. Now. So I figured as soon as I was done that Adam would start to say something, but I didn't hear yet. All I heard was a buzzing.
I said I could not agree more.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's the people who are cheating are not getting punished.
Right.
And if they happen to remain at the school, then, you know, I guess that does hurt them. But they can, like you said, they can walk away. You're Pete Carroll. You see this coming down the pipe. You go to the pros. When he steps in, the minute he steps in, the program that hires him should know that they're going to be down 10 scholarships and they're not going to go to a bowl for 3 years because this guy cheated at his last place. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to stop some of this stuff, that's how you do it. Punish the people that are cheating.
John Calipari, I'm looking at you.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what would be the solution in, like, I mean, I totally agree with you, and by the way, I mean, I'm not arguing that. What would be the solution in like, the Pete Carroll situation where he goes to Seattle? And
everybody gets hit. You got to hit USC because they're always in trouble. And there's something going on there in the culture. And you nail, sure, and sure. you nail Pete Carroll. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, here's what.
Or do you put some sort of ban that Pete Carroll can't come back to college football, or, you know?
No, I don't know that you can do that. As far as, I don't know about the legality of saying that a guy can't get employment. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could, or maybe he could fight it. But I would say that no, he carries sanctions for when how many ever years if he is employed at a school that's a member of the NCAA.
Yeah, so, like, if he were to get back into college coaching as soon as he was hired, those mm-hmm. sanctions would be in effect. It's kind of like, I guess if I don't know if this is a good example, like, but if you commit a crime in a different country and flee the country, those charges are waiting for you when you go, if you ever enter that country again. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a choice at that point to not enter the country again, in which case, you know, Pete Carroll has a choice of never coaching in college football again, and colleges certainly have the choice to not hire him, but mm-hmm. as soon as he gets hired, then they say, okay, he gets fined X amount of dollars, and, you know, the school loses maybe not as many scholarships as the school where it happened, but there's got to be a couple, you know, and that's got to be the way to go, I would think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, look, a lot of these head coaches do things so that their names don't appear. So an assistant coach or a graduate assistant is going to be making extra calls or texts, or, you know, they're going to be the ones that are doing these sorts of things.
Delivering $1,000 to O.J. Mayo in an envelope.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but I think where there's evidence that the coach knew or was involved with, you got to hit him. So, like I said, it's not an every time there's trouble, the head coach gets nailed. It might be, but don't exclude that as an option. And take down some of these assistant coaches that are doing it. I mean, get specific with your charges. Don't just paint with a broad brush at the whole school. And, I mean, include them too, but get specific.
Don't you run into a problem, though? Because, I mean, I guess the problem would be that the NCAA doesn't have any type of subpoena power. So, I guess if you're going to start doing that, then a lot of more people might be shutting up
when
you're trying to investigate.
Well, I don't know. I guess that's a point, but.
But you got to try, I think. I mean, it seems like you just can't let them flee.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know, because, like, there is a part of that where they're not the ones telling on themselves
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe you show some mercy, you know, just like in the legal system where you show some mercy. Okay, well, look, we won't nail you as hard if you give us Patino.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't know.
No, I agree. Maybe something. Stupid coaches.
But it seems like after USC, there are a lot of these things coming up, which I think is an interesting, you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of – I was going to talk about that too. You see USC come up, and then all of a sudden West Virginia, and then I see stories about Tennessee creeping back up again. And I think I saw something about Kentucky.
That's not a stunner.
Yeah,
I know. Well, that's not – I don't think that there's anything with that story.
With the paying of the player?
The $200,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to fit in an envelope.
Yeah. You need one of those big manila envelopes for that.
Yeah, well, Tim Floyd walked by 12 times to deliver that.
Well, you know, talking about some of these NCAA things, did you guys hear the Boise story?
Yes, I saw that.
No, yeah. I didn't. What?
Boise State had a kid that was coming up to play his senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he had verbally committed to Boise. Is that accurate, Adam? He hadn't signed anything.
I don't know. I thought he had signed, but I kind of skimmed it. So
I think he verbally committed, because I think if he had signed, they would have been allowed to do some things. But anyway, he died in a car accident.
Yes.
Over the summer or whatever, and you know, he had, because of NCAA or rules or whatever, and because he hadn't officially signed with Boise, even though he had committed to Boise, they weren't allowed to do anything. They weren't allowed to attend his funeral. They weren't allowed to send flowers. They weren't allowed to talk to his parents. They weren't allowed, you know, the coaches and things like that that spent time recruiting him, they weren't allowed to have any involvement with, you know, his
That's not necessarily true. Boise State was hesitant to do any of those things for fear of violations. They didn't know what the rules were, so they kind of talked to their compliance people, and they didn't do anything out of fear, when it should be a slam dunk that obviously, you know, whatever the NCAA said. Well, if they would have applied for a waiver, it would have been approved. Like, okay, which means they would have had to apply for the waiver, and then you have to wait for the NCAA to approve it, which could take however long.
Right.
And then they're always worried about you recruiting the high school other players at the funeral.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Right, but it wasn't necessarily that there are rules against that. It's that they didn't know exactly what the rules were, so they just couldn't do anything.
So they're just like, rather than try to mess with it or risk
it. Yes, right.
We're just going to stay away from the whole thing.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. Yeah, the NCAA works in mysterious ways. Some things that just should be – I mean, it just seems like there's so many – at least one story a year where you're like, that's so
weird.
You
don't hear about a kid getting stuck in an escalator? I'm telling you, it's got to be coming up sometime where these schools look around and go, I don't know if we need this NCAA anymore.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, because – and I think it's coming. I mean, with the conference realignment
expansion
and
absolutely.
Stuff like that, they're going to be like, you know what?
All these individual conference networks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you know what I think is funny about that is these guys, it can't work for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it's working for the Big Ten Network, probably because they were first. Mm-hmm. But it's just like – it's just like everything else. Okay, well, now when you have the Pac-10 network and then you have the Big East and then you have the Texas Channel or whatever, it dilutes the whole pool.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Not as many people are going to be watching this, that, or the other. So these projections and getting all together so that they can have a conference network and all this other garbage, it's just – I mean, you learn nothing from the financial crisis from a couple of years ago where everybody was – Or the dot-com boom. Oh, let's get let's do this. It's the way of the future, and then everybody's got it, and then it bombs.
Yeah. No, I don't know about all that. All right, well, let's move on. I want to talk about Albert Haynesworth. And this is such an interesting story. Mm-hmm. You know, Albert Haynesworth, who once traded. He wants out of Washington because Mike Shanahan comes in and he changes the defense from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and Albert Haynesworth just does not want to play nose tackle. And he last year, from what I understand, he eliminated teams to from signing with them if they played a 3-4 defense. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you play a 3-4, I'm not coming to play. You know, now
I think it's the other way around, isn't it? Or no. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. 3-4, because he doesn't want to play nose tackle.
Right.
Now, he is being paid an obscene amount of money. Okay. So, anyway, he opts out
first of... First $100 million defensive player.
Yeah. So, he opts out of all the optional workouts over the summer. And so he has to. He's the only person on the Redskins who has to take this physical or this test, the skills test. And he cannot pass it. And they keep making him take it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's because Shanahan's a stickler for the rules or if he just wants to embarrass Haynesworth. And Haynesworth's like, oh, my knee, it hurts. Let me get an MRI. And oh, my goodness, the MRI shows nothing. Like, there's no damage on his knee. They're like, oh, you're a big faker. But he's taking the test again over the weekend. And I don't know what the end game is here. I mean, it's got to be something bigger than, hey, he just needs to pass this test. It seems to me. But I find it fascinating.
It's been kind of great because, okay, Albert Haynesworth shooting his mouth off, okay, off season. All right, that's fine. Shanahan comes in, okay, all right, big boy. Let's embarrass you. You run this fitness test, which is ridiculous. I mean, come on.
It's a shuttle.
It's a show. He's doing it only to embarrass him. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. So Haynesworth, big boy, says, "Oh, my arm, it's broken." Okay. So you can take your fitness test and shove it up your ass because he's not in violation of his contract or whatever. My knee hurts. Okay. So that goes on a couple of days. Shanahan goes, "Oh, your knee hurts, huh? Why don't we get an MRI on that one, huh? Let's see what's going on in there." Oh, nothing. Okay. So, I mean, but how can you say my knee hurts and a guy says, no, it doesn't? You know what I mean? It's like, but you're right, Trent. It's from whose perspective? If I'm Albert Haynesworth, I mean, I'm not that I feel sorry for him, but I totally get his point. Look, he wanted to play in this kind of defense, and he is getting paid a lot amount of big amount of money for sure, but he based his teams on what he wanted to play. Now,
there's
no guarantees. I know that from year to year to year, there's going to be a coaching change. If he knew anything about the Redskins, he had to know Zorn was on his way out.
Right.
But anyway, so what's Shanahan going to do? He's not going to pass his fitness test. So then he's going to have to cave and say, all right, well, I'm going to have to put him on the team even though he didn't pass it. And Haynesworth could just sit on the sideline and go, okay, pay me because I'm not going anywhere. I can't pass this test or whatever, but, you know, cut me, and then I'll go to a team that I want to go to or whatever. So I don't know from whose perspective where this is going to end up, but it's like a tremendous soap opera.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I'm kind of wondering how – I mean, you've already got players talking out against, you know, Haynesworth, players that are on the Redskins and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether – I'm trying to figure out what Shanahan's deal here is. Is he pitting – you know, is he trying to gain support for him in the way, you know, for people to follow, obviously, Mike Shanahan? Is he doing this so he – you know, so the team looks at him and says, okay, you are in charge. You know, does he have to do that? I don't know. Is he trying to pit the team against Albert Haynesworth, you know, in a way to almost kind of solidify, you know, the team? You know, do you have to do that on the NFL level even? I don't know about that either. You know, I'm trying to figure out Mike Shanahan's motivation, I guess, you know, because, I mean, the guy knows what he's doing, obviously. I mean, he's, you know, won Super Bowls and been in the AFC Championship game and, you know, all that other stuff and everything. So, I mean, he knows obviously what he's doing as a coach. So I'm trying to figure out what his ultimate end game is here. I mean,
yeah. What's the desired result of all this? And that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out too. And he's kind of painting himself into, I mean, I want to say he's painting himself into a corner because he probably wants it this way. But at this point, I mean, if Haynesworth said at the beginning, I don't want to play in this defense. And then, Hazlitt is the defensive guy in Washington, mm-hmm. I think. If then Hazlitt said, you know what, we'll install some 4-3, you know, to kind of accommodate because to take advantage of Haynesworth's unique abilities and whatever, then everything probably would have been fine from that point on. Okay. But once he's drawn this line saying we're going with 3-4, even though, let's face it, Shanahan's defensive teams have not been top notch, even when he was in Denver. They never had a fantastic defense. So changing philosophies wouldn't have been any big deal, I don't think. But at this point, he's drawn the line in the sand. He said, we're going with the 3-4. Now he can't cave. He can't install a few 4-3 packages. He can't do that because he's giving up something at that point. He's caving into a player, and you can't let your other players see you do that.
Well, and here's the thing. I think what he wanted to happen was, oh, okay, you're not coming to camp. Do this fitness test. Fail day one, fail day two, fail day three. I've embarrassed you. You passed it. Let's go.
Right.
Okay. Now, but Haynesworth's not playing that. Oh, I failed. Okay. I guess I'll try it tomorrow unless my knee doesn't hurt. And now Shane is like, well, shit, now what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I think that's where he lost control of this situation was when Haynesworth didn't just submit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think you got to be careful with this message to the other players or whatever, because I think everybody – well, first, I don't think anybody liked Albert Haynesworth, okay?
Right.
And I think for some reason, you know, people hate Albert Haynesworth, and then all of a sudden, everybody's like, come on now, really? This is enough. You know what I mean? Even from the player's perspective, like, okay, coach, you made your point. You're the boss. We get it. You know, enough's enough. This guy can help us. Let's get his ass on the field. Or you know what I mean? Like, okay, nobody likes him, but still, this isn't right. You know, I think there can be some of that, too, if you push it too far.
Yeah.
Or you hurt his knee worse by making him run. Just kidding. there's no way that he's got a real injury.
No, there's no chance of that. And I think ultimately what they'll end up having to do or end up doing is just cut him. Do what they did with what Tampa did with Keyshawn.
It's going to be so expensive.
Have him inactive. I know, but I mean, I don't know.
Don't
what
you
else
try to trade
is.
Him first?
I think they tried that. Or I think he tried that. I think Haynesworth tried that. Because I think what happened was when he got wind of this, they said, look, go if you want to go find yourself another team, we'll work with you. And he didn't either work hard enough to get one or nobody wanted him or whatever. He didn't make it happen. Got that $21 million roster bonus or whatever it was, which he was probably waiting for. He probably didn't work real hard to find a team to trade with because he wanted that $21 million.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So – took that $21 million. Now let's try and get me traded.
Yeah. And that's not working either.
That's not working for me.
You know, when you were talking about, you know, people starting to feel sorry for him, you guys have both seen Cool Hand Luke, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. When I can't remember the big guy's name. He was in Naked Gun. But when everybody's like cheering on him to beat down Cool Hand Luke, like in the prison yard, and he keeps beating them down and beating them down, and they're like cheering him on, and then by the end they're like, come on, man, just let him go, because Paul Newman kept getting up and he just kept beating him down. That's what it reminded me of when you were talking about Albert Haynesworth and his embarrassment and people just now. Maybe. I haven't seen it yet, but running the risk of him gaining some support of people just going like, okay, we get it.
Great point.
So, anything else on Fat Albert?
Yeah, no.
All right. Okay, so what is this, August 6th?
Oh, I know where you're going. Yeah.
And reports this week that Brett Favre will retire. Only be followed up shortly. Reports that he'll probably play. We love this. And by we, I mean me. Because, okay, and I don't know where the reports that he was going to retire came from. I mean,
him. That's the part that pisses me off about all this. He's like pretending like it's like, oh, well, I don't send no text messages. Oh, yeah, really? Guys are just making this up out of thin air.
Maybe they misinterpreted it.
Yeah, I'm done or whatever.
Maybe maybe he meant he was done with his dinner and ready to meet out at the club.
Yeah.
Ready to meet Jen Steiger, former Jet sideline reporter.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. But
did
anyway.
You?
Yeah. What?
He allegedly sent a picture of his little slinger to the
Lil Favre.
Little slinger.
a little gunslinger.
pew pew.
Yeah. To Jen Sturger.
Sturger.
Oh, the former.
Yes, cowgirl, FSU cowgirl.
Right. Oh, well, that's good.
But anyway, let's not get distracted.
So, but then, you know, you talked to Mariucci. I mean, it was like the same day that the Report 1 came out, Report 2 came out from the NFL. ESPN had the Report 1, NFL.com had Report 2, where Favre told Mariucci that he was undecided, and then apparently the next day that he would play if he's healthy. You know, I could cut and paste last year's conversation about Favre's retirement, I'm sure. But, you know, this is all just, I mean, not only is he an attention whore, which I think everybody agrees.
Has to be.
But this is also just so he can get out of training camp.
Okay, but nobody's making him go to training camp. The Vikings will said, look, don't come. We're cool. Don't decide until the middle of August. Nobody is making him make a decision. Like the Packers, you know, well, they didn't make him. He made it. Whatever. Okay, this isn't like past years where we need to know, Brett. We need to know. You know, you're putting us in a bind here. It's August.
Right.
There's, hey, take your time. You know, whatever. I mean, you don't find it at all coincidental or whatever that he says he's done one day. 12 hours later, the Vikings say, oh, would you like some more money to play?
Well, I think, you know, to be fair, not to be fair, but just as a statement, when Packers were wanting to, you know, kind of force Favre into a decision, they had a quarterback who they felt was ready to take over. There's no team that would, I mean, fall more by losing their starting quarterback right now than Minnesota. They would go from favorites in the division to, you know, just above the Lions, because the Lions are always going to be last.
I agreed, but they didn't do anything. I mean, he's 41 or 42 or 104. If they would have thought about it, they'd say, you know, we might want to start thinking about plan B. I think they feel fine with Tavares Jackson because they haven't done a thing. So they're saying, look, if you come, great. If not, well, I guess we'll have to make do with Tavares, because God knows you can't draft a quarterback to try and take Brett Favre's spot. He'll be offended and he'll force a trade.
Well, I guess.
Or retire and then be traded.
Yeah. Wouldn't that speak a little bit more, though, to, I mean, I don't know if it does, that Minnesota's confidence that he will come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're confident he'll come back. I think they're, I mean, they've, like I said, they've given him every avenue to come back. Don't come to camp. Take your time. Don't make a decision. Here's
$7 million.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, but, you know, back to this whole thing, like, this doesn't, no one was talking about Brett Favre until Brett Favre decided it was time to talk about Brett Favre. However he did, I mean, seriously.
It's time to talk about Brett.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously, these things just don't just fall out of the sky. Either the agent floats it or has been told to float it, or there were these text messages sent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, he starts this, and then he's all of a sudden surprised when people show up at that dumb fucking high school where he's throwing the ball to the kid. what are you boys doing here? You know, it's like, whatever. Somebody else has a better Brett Favre than I do. But I'm just saying, it's like, he starts it and then like, oh, I'm surprised. Everybody's interested on what I'm going to do. You know, and you would think after all of these years, he would know not to, like, make a decision until he's really ready to make a decision. Like, I can understand, like, getting up in the morning and feeling one day like you're going to play and then the next day not. Like, I get that. But you don't go and say, text teammates, okay, this is it, and then you wake up the next day and go, oh boy, I don't know about this, and then you pull back. Like, okay, if you, and maybe you did do that once, don't do that 3 years in a row.
Is it? I thought it's been more than 3 years, isn't it?
Well, at least, yeah.
Well, this is, it's so many ups and downs, sideways moves, I mean.
Yeah, one ESPN story said that who had been contemplating retirement since 2002.
Well, that's true. You know, and I don't know why, but I'm just not bothered by it as much as you are. I mean, I get that it's ridiculous, and I get that he's making a joke out of himself, but it doesn't anger me.
It angers me that, like I said, that he brings this upon himself. That's the part that bothers me the most.
That he's the one, you know, with the stories and...
Yeah, he like I said, he decided it was time to start talking about Brett Favre. Kind of like Jimmy Chitwood. Yeah. I feel like it's time that I started playing ball. Anyway.
Well, and what aggravates me, and I know that aggravates you, Anna, what aggravates me is that the news outlets are so, like, they pay attention to it still. You know, we've got, you know, people are reporting on it, and people are doing this, and people, you know. And they're so quick to just cover this story that I think 90% of the people are tired of, you know. Wait till you have something concrete and then run with it. I mean, I think that's, I mean, you know, part of that whole situation where he's retiring and then the next day he's, you know, if he's healthy, he'll play type of thing is ESPN and the news and the media so quickly jumping on, you know, anything that he has to say.
Right. Wait until game one and see if he's in uniform.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Let's wait until game one and see if he's there.
That college team didn't make the College World Series.
No.
Right?
That's right.
That's decision made, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. Although, I think if they said if he made it, he would. Not that if they didn't, he wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that does complicate things a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Because it would have been finite.
Brett Favre.
You know, your Jimmy Chitwood sounds a lot like your Brett Favre.
Yeah. Okay. But here was the thing that I was talking about, I think, on Twitter the other day. How about that? I was tweeting. Not on my name.
Right.
But anyway.
Of course not.
Seriously, though, 5 years from now, when you hear Brett Favre, what's the first thing you think?
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Bullshit.
Championship.
I don't think of all this
childlike enthusiasm for the game. I'll envision him taking his helmet off and running up the field with his finger in the air.
In a Packers uniform, yeah, Jets uniform, Vikings uniform.
His weepy eyes when he's retiring. 4 years ago.
The first time? Yeah. Second time? Third time?
No, it's definitely part. It's that, you know, after it happens, let's say even more than twice, it's part of the legacy. I mean, you're right. It is something that's going to come up. And, you know, I think he's got to know it at some point. I mean, when you have the people whose products you endorse writing commercials about you not being able to make a decision, you know, it's part of who you are now.
Right. And I think it's going to probably stay with him a little bit longer. I mean, you know, some of these guys, like, I don't think it sticks to him as for as long, like maybe 15 years from now, you don't think about it, but I think it's going to stick with him for a while.
It sticks with Jordan still. You know, when he quit and went to baseball and then came back and then retired again and came back with the Wizards. I mean, it's a little bit. You're right. But, you know, he didn't do it to the extent that Favre did. And it will stick with Favre.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be a joke when, you know, if he decides to work for another team in a different capacity at age 50, somebody's going to make a joke about him coming down and playing, coming out of retirement. And that's just what's going to happen because it's part of who he is now.
Okay.
All right, so that's going to go ahead and wrap it up for episode 206. We'll go ahead and put this one in the books. Hooray!
Yay!
That didn't sound very enthusiastic, Adam.
Yay!
Adam's drained. Ryan, why don't you tell the good people how they can get in touch with us?
You can like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/brothersin3z. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/brothersin3z. You can email the show at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. And you can go to the show's homepage at brothersin3-z.com. All those ways you can get involved with the program. Also, go to iTunes, do a search under podcast for Brothers in 3Z, and you can subscribe. And every time there's a brand new edition of the show, it gets downloaded directly to your computer. Yep. So you don't even have to think about it. It'll just show up one day. Oop, look, new episode.
Yeah, and it is interactive. I mean, let's face it. We may not have We may not have talked about Favre if it hadn't been for Twitter requests for Adam's Rand from Sears. He loves Adam. So. Well, and I get the feeling that if it didn't, that we'll have another opportunity to discuss it again in the future. So, there you have it. All right, for Ryan and Adam, this is Trent saying, remember that the next one is on.
And on top of it, I got to put Iron Man's face on a cake today.
You should just,
morning.
I saw that. You should have just bought a Halloween mask and plopped it on there.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. I was out of Walmart today, too, buying the stuff. I should have just bought the plastic. They have these strap-on masks.
Strap-ons.
Really good. Strap-ons.
That's like, you know, the elastic in the back, but the front looks like the face. I should have just bought that and just plopped it right on there.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I ain't no ace of cakes, that's for sure.
I wanted to mention or comment on LeBron's little letter to Akron.
We'll do it.
Did you see it?
This is I read the story about it.
You read the story, Adam? Did you see it?
About what?
LeBron, has he put a letter, you know,
in
saying,
the Akron Beacon Journal?
Yeah,
and but went out of his way not to mention Cleveland.
Not to mention Cleveland at all, and like, I love you, Akron. You're always my home. Please welcome me back, because he's doing some sort of charity thing or something soon in Akron, I think.
Yeah,
just send your money. Just send your money, LeBron. Don't make an appearance. Just send your money.
You know, that Jen Sturger chick, didn't she have her boob implants removed?
I don't know. She's on the Versus.
Yeah.
Sure, that's not the right way to say it.
Right.
She's on Versus.
Yeah, I remember seeing her on those when I was watching the hockey playoffs. And they
would do
promos for some sort of round table argument thing, I'm sure. That's what a lot of the sports shows are now. That she was on there. I was like, oh, that's – it looked like her. I was like, is that her?
She read tweets.
Hmm?
She read tweets. She was kind of like their –
their Twitter girl.
Social media, type person. She didn't really participate in the actual show. She was like, oh, what are the people on folks saying, Jen? folks on Twitter saying, Jen? And she'd say, oh, so-and-so says blah, blah, blah.
Is this...
It seemed like she was still getting it done, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this the modern-day version of Weather Girl? You know, the Weather Girl used to be all cute. Now it's the chick who reads the tweets.
The tweets. Seriously, with all these rookie contracts, and I know this is something we didn't talk about, they've got to put a cap on that stuff.
On the guaranteed money?
It's crazy. I mean, come on. Tom Brady's scrounging around for he's not scrounging around. He still makes good money. But...
Poor Tom.
Well, that's probably part of the reason why there's going to be a lockout in a couple of years. Or at the end of this year, right?
Yeah. Before the season next year.
Yes, next year. I don't think so. I don't think it'll come to that.
If they're smart, it won't come to that. Because the NFL has got itself a machine going, and the only thing that could kill it is themselves.
I don't even know that they could do that. I think it could hurt it, but I don't think it would.
No, I guess I'm overstating it by saying it would kill it, kind of like Tom Brady scrounging around.
Looking into himself a little bit of some money at McDonald's.
Yeah, he's standing in the middle of the street with a sign, will impregnate supermodel for food. I got a gift certificate to Gulf USA that I never used. Like $25.
Hand it over.
I know, right? I wish I could find them.
It's probably in your golf bag.
One of them is, I think, actually.
Found. Yeah. Finder's fee.
Yeah, there's probably some expiration date on it. Because they're losers. Gulf USA.
Still in business? Biznaz?
Yeah, they're the only golf shop around. I mean, unless you count Dick's.
I try not to count Dick's.
Wow. Breaking news in Brothers in 3Z. Albert Hainsworth, MRI reveals no structural damage on his sore left knee.
Oh.
I thought anybody surprised by that?
I thought the breaking news was that Brett Favre was sending Adam pictures of his dick. And Adam was not counting them.
He's not counting the pictures?
Right. Thought we could talk about Brett Favre.
Thank you.